all the time now. I mean, when you think about, say, 50, 60 years ago, it was pretty commonplace that most children obeyed their parents. I mean, yeah, children are children, they're all sinners, but still, it just wasn't a big issue. But now, it's just all around us, isn't it? That children are just, they just don't listen, and now they're even told by the schools and by the government that if they don't like what's happening at home, they can daub their parents in and whatever. So how we've come full circle, huh? But disobedient to parents. So we'll pray and we'll look at some of these characteristics of the last days. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study your word. I pray you'd guide us in your truth. And Lord, I pray that we would learn things that would help us to be a testimony to the lost and also to remind us that you are coming soon. So thank you for your word and the privilege to study it together. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ephesians 6:1, God's command to children is what? Obey your parents, right? That is scriptural. That is a command from our Savior to us. And yet, society now, disobedience is a very common thing and almost natural, isn't it? I mean, it is natural because it's natural for us to sin, but I'm saying it's so accepted now that children disobey their parents. So any thoughts or questions about this one as we think about it, and what do you see in society that validates this 12th characteristic? Anybody? Do we see anything? Do we hear anything? Jackie?
Well, it's just that the authority has been taken away from the parents now by the government, really. And the government has now become the authority over our children.
And that's a big part of it, isn't it? And the we have relinquished, as a society, our parental authority to the government. And it really kind of started back when we started having things called public schools. Believe it or not, that's not always been that way. Up until not that long ago, church-wise speaking, the 2,000 years of the church age, parents just taught their children. There was really no such thing as a public school, per se. And then eventually we had church schools where children would congregate at schools and learn. And then that slowly morphed into what we have today, where it's expected that they go to a public school that's run by the government. And that means that now the government thinks they have the authority to over our children. And so they tell our children that, you know, if mom and dad give you a spanking at home, you tell us about it and we'll take you away from the home. And it goes on from there. So Jackie's right. That's a big part of it, is that society's changed in this regards to who's the authority over our children. Any other thoughts or questions about this, Christine?
Like in the parenting world, it's just a big trend that disobedience is not labeled as sin anymore. It's that there's always a deeper cause for it, and you know, like they're not developmentally ready to listen to instruction, and like there's a lot of that. So obedience isn't even an expectation of children anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. The disobedience is the expectation. Hence the characteristics of the last days, right? So any other thoughts or questions? A pretty basic one, but it's very prevalent in our society today. Rachel? That's right.
In society, I mean, I work in a kindergarten, so I see it often. You can tell the ones that are lovingly disciplined, and you're made out to be a bad person, a wicked person, if you do that to your children, because they don't understand God's mood, and that if you do it in a loving way, it's for their benefit, to give them boundaries, to make them feel secure, and you always reap what you sow. So if you don't do it God's way, you're going to get it.
Absolutely.
You reap blessings from that.
Yep. Proverbs says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. But the first part of the verse says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Mark? That's right. If it's done in love and it's done scripturally, then they will always respond. You know how we know this? Because our Creator told us so. Amen? We didn't just make this up. God wrote it down in His Word, His preserved Word, and told us to discipline our children. He commanded us to. And, of course, we talked about this last year's family camp, didn't we? I saw another hand. Christine?
I was just thinking about discipline, and the purpose of it is to really show us and our children their inability to be perfect without Christ, like their need for a Savior is to draw their attention to that. So if we're not doing that, then we're really doing them a disservice because we're not drawing them to Christ and showing them their need for a Savior. And, we're essentially saying that their behaviors are okay, and it just delays them coming to Christ because you're not leading them that way either.
Yep, because God says that there's consequences for sin, right? And like Christine said, even the Bible says the law was given as our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So the law wasn't given so that we could be saved through the law. The law was given to show us that we're wicked and that we need help, that we need a Savior, that we need outside help from our Creator. And we teach our children at a young age, if we're going to be scriptural, that sin carries consequences. And so does obedience. You know, that when we obey God, we receive more blessings. I saw another hand. Rachel?
I also think, too, the government pushes at its abuse. And we know there's a huge difference between abuse and discipline with our children. And as parents of older children, our children sit around the lounge now and laugh about some of the smacks that they got when they were younger because it was always done in love and it never was an abusive to them. It didn't hurt them. It was to teach them a lesson. So I think it's a big thing. Just the wording that the government uses.
Yes, well, that's all part of it.
And you use an instrument rather than a rod and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, they always change the narrative. Tanya?
It's more far-reaching even than that. It's turned everything upside down. So the devil has used this in every part of culture. Your books, your Hollywood, how it pictures children being wiser than parents. And it's turned everything upside down in order to encourage it more than just anything else. So not only do they remove parental rights, but they're also increasing children's desire to overstep their parents' authority by making them look stupid. You see parents being, or older people being known as stupid and children as being wise, all the things the Bible teaches completely opposite. So it's a fight to keep the home showing the opposite and always teaching your children, but you can't hide it from them, but you have to teach the Lord's word more than what they see in the world's influence.
Amen.
But because people have even lost kids as they get older to universities to this philosophy, if you're not careful to put them in God's word and hope that that's what they want and that's what they follow.
So number 12, disobedient to parents, we see it all around us, don't we? And God said that this would be increased more and more here in these last days to remind us Jesus is coming soon. So the next one, number 13, is unthankful. Just one word. Unthankful. And we stop and ask ourselves, where is the gratitude in society today? You know, people just used to be more thankful for life and for anything. You know, God says in 1 Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But that's not enough anymore, is it? Someone was just telling me yesterday that in Australia, it's considered a right for children to be able to have access to the internet. They have to have the internet. And so if you live rurally, which, you know, I wish they'd bring this in New Zealand. But anyway, if you live rurally and you don't have access to the internet, the government will pay for you to have satellite internet. That's not cheap. It's over $200 a month for satellite internet in New Zealand. But it's a right. Think about that. It's a right for children to have the internet. And that's all about this new entitlement thing that everybody has, isn't it? I'm entitled to things. I'm owed things. People owe me. As opposed to being grateful for what we have. People now are quite ungrateful because they don't have enough. And so, again, it's been flipped over on its head, just like the devil does. He's the god of this world, remember? And God says, if you go to James 1:17, that everything that we have comes from God and that he is very good. Of course, we all know this to be true. But the world is now becoming very unthankful. And sadly, it even has crept into Christianity. And even a lot of Christians have become very unthankful and struggle to find the gratitude in what they have. But notice James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And how many times in the New Testament alone are we told to give thanks for what? Everything, all things. Over and over again we're told to be always, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. 1 Timothy 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. So we as Christians are told to be thankful for everything because God's in control. God makes no mistakes. And yet we see around us now the opposite, this lack of gratitude, being unthankful. So any thoughts about this one? Any observations? Is anybody seeing gratitude in society today? Jackie? Yeah, count your many blessings. Amen.
Even some of the material you now get on Radio Remote, whatever, like the Life in Him, it's way off track. It's way off track.
Yeah. People just aren't grateful anymore. Anything else?
I'm thankful for being healthy.
We have so much to be thankful for, don't we, Jan? Just life itself.
Right.
But most of our salvation. Because if we have salvation, we have everything, don't we? We have Jesus, we have eternity with the Lord, and that can never change, and the devil can't take that away from us.
I agree.
So no matter how many trials we go through here in life, they were God's will and God's plan, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll be nothing but grateful. But God says that this unthankful would be one of the characteristics of the last days here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So any other thoughts or observations about number 13, unthankful? This lack of gratitude. So we as Christians, we must be careful not to allow that to creep into our homes. We must learn to always, as God's commanded us, be thankful for all things. When a trial comes, thank the Lord. When you lose your job, thank the Lord, because he has something better. He has a plan. But we tend to, if we're not careful, focus on the negative, be like Israel and complain. And nothing angered God more than their complaining. Rachel?
Even going back to the children, if the parents aren't thankful, the children aren't going to be thankful either. You know, I think that kind of in a little package, that Satan's very clever, and his desire is to destroy the marriages and the families, whether that's through being unthankful,
that's right. The devil knows that the foundation of all societies are the homes. So he's going to attack the foundations first, isn't he? All right, next one, unholy. Wow. Unholy. We don't even hear about holiness like people used to 100 years ago, but let's go to 1 Peter 1, and as you know, we as God's children are commanded to emulate the holiness of our great God. The most prevalent attribute of God in Scripture is his holiness. Over 600 times in the Old Testament it's mentioned. And as it says here in 1 Peter 1, Brother Scott, would you read 15 and 16?
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? So we as God's children are commanded to be holy, and yet God says one of the characteristics would be the opposite, that society would be unholy. Thoughts or observations about this one? Is our society more unholy than it used to be? We all know this to be true, don't we? It has become so accepted now, the sin. It's become so public. It's become so okay with everyone, where it used to be unacceptable to society primarily. And sure enough, we see it all the time in our media, but even just in public, the sinfulness that is prevalent all around us. And God said this would happen. And fitting in with that is the next one, without natural affection. So I think they just had the Pride Parade this weekend in Auckland, didn't they? And that's all about this one, isn't it? It's all about now it's acceptable. Even though the Bible says it's an abomination to have alternate lifestyles, alternate sexualities, whatever, which we can't even keep up with the acronyms anymore. They're changing so fast. God says in His Word, it's still wicked. It's still evil. And it's still against what He teaches us is right and holy. Many scriptures on this, but we'll look at a few. Let's go to Romans 1 and then 1 Corinthians 6. We studied this when we studied the commandments, but the Bible is very clear. And God even gave us, you know, He talks in 2 Peter about how Sodom and Gomorrah was, it happened as an example to teach us something. Well, what was that to teach us? What was the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah? And why do we call it sodomy? Where did that word come from? Guess what? It came from the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed an entire city of over 1 million people over this. Over this unnatural affection. So it's not that, it's not that it's a new problem. But it's just that it's become accepted. And it's become prevalent. It used to be, actually, it used to be even against the law. But notice the Romans chapter 1. Where the Bible makes it very clear. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So God's very clear about this. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Howard, could you read that for us, 1 Corinthians 6, 9?
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor impudents, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Abusers of themselves with mankind. Maybe by next year it'll be against the law for me even to teach this lesson, this part of the lesson. Because it's already against the law in parts of Australia, and they want to bring it in next year here to try to even talk to someone and try to talk them out of their alternate lifestyle. And to pray with them is against the law in Victoria already, and it's coming. Isn't that amazing? That we could go from something being illegal to it actually being illegal to try to talk them out of it? Talk about a complete flip. And Colossians 3:5 uses the word inordinate affection. So it's a New Testament sin. All right. I know a lot of them try to say it was only an Old Testament sin. That's just a lie they like to perpetrate. It's not true. God makes it very clear that it is evil and that in the last days it would be more prevalent. Well, we all know this to be true. Now people at work have to go through certain trainings just to be more sensitive to all of this stuff, right? This alternate lifestyles, alternate sexualities. And the acronym grew pretty quick over the past 10 years, didn't it? I can't even keep up with all of them anymore. So any thoughts or questions about seeing this in society as another sign that we are in the last days? Brother Mark? They just keep adding boxes. And poor Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. Jan, you are a very deprived child. If you don't know who Mr. Potato Head is. No, it just shows how much our society has lost its mind. That they are not allowed to be called that anymore, and they're changing their name. They're not allowed to be Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head anymore. No, this is for real. These are toys that have been around for 50 years, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, and now the toy company is changing their name because that's very offensive to call them Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. I'm being serious, Mark. This is real. Take this seriously. Christine?
Transitioned over to being a man and is now detransitioning back, and she actually became a born-again Christian. And I think it can be easy to think that they're out of reach, but actually they're seeking a savior, and that's why. It's the root. And she said she was trying to find identity. She was worshiping self and identity, and actually she just needed to realize that she was already accepted by Christ and loved by him. And it was, I mean, it was life-changing for her. And so just to remember that they're not, like, God can reach them.
That's right.
And we feel like they're just too far.
We should never treat them as if they're unreachable, because
they're
broken. They are. They aren't. And it's sin is sin. It's not. God doesn't rate sin. Kelvin?
That's what you're just saying there. A big one at work. People talk about us Christians like we hate homosexuals, because that's what we portray as a whole for Christianity.
Yes. It sure is. We have to be very careful about setting this sin, primarily homosexuality, aside as like worse than all other sins. Sin is sin. And when you read about the sins that are going to condemn us to hell in Revelation 21, lying is included in there. Has anybody here ever told a lie? We all have. So we have to be careful. They are not unreachable. They're lost sinners just like we were, that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everybody needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we can't treat them as unreachable. But God did say one of the characteristics of the last day was this would become more prevalent in society, and of course we all know it has. It's become more accepted. Yes, Jackie?
I also think that it's one of Satan's lies, though, that it is becoming more dominant in society, because there's still a very, very small minority in our population, but it's lie of the devil through the media that portray it as something that is becoming more and more prevalent, and sadly it does lead people to think that that's something they should could explore, when wouldn't be something you would typically think of. So it's just again another one of Satan's lies that he uses.
Well, absolutely, he uses the media to his advantage, and you're right. If we were to believe the media, then basically 50% of the population is homosexual. When it's probably more like 2% or whatever, 5%, Rachel.
And once again, I think they're getting the
can choose what you want to be. I mean, this is the age of 5 and 7. Why even put those ideas in the kids' head? They just want to play. But it's the adults putting those ideas in their kids' head through the agenda from their government that comes through that these teachers have to teach them that they can choose. Whereas most kids at 5 and 7, normally,
yep. And the from the government that we're not allowed to ever say anything negative about it. That's the other side, isn't it, Tanya?
It's a very dangerous mindset for them because the highest, one of the highest suicide rates is amongst people who question everything about sex because it usually comes from a self-hatred aspect. So most of them, it's not because they love themselves. They like to put that out there. It's not. It's because they basically hate who they are to the very foundation of who they are. So to reach somebody like that is important because you generally have a small window because it can lead to very high suicide rates.
Yeah. So it's definitely one of the characteristics, number 15, without natural affection, it would be all around us, and sure enough, I mean, I'm not super old, but when I think about my childhood, just nobody ever talked about it. It just wasn't around, you know. It was just kind of over there. And now we get inundated with it constantly. Everywhere we go, we hear about it. It's just amazing how it's come that far in such a short time.
Would you include this also with abortion? Because a mother should love the baby she's carrying. I know I did. From the moment I knew I was pregnant,
I guess you could put that in there. I never thought about it from that way, but yeah, I mean, God gives every woman a natural affection for her child. So that would fall under it because that's unnatural for them to not love their child. Yeah. Any other thoughts or questions? We'll stop there today. Mark?
Don't trust the media.
Absolutely. They absolutely have an agenda, so remember that. Yes, we have to be very careful. Remember that Satan's the god of this world. Mm-hmm. Rachel?
Just as these speakers make them think, you know, our government tells us that this might be open up a little bit of the can of worms, that our government tells us that we go into these lockdowns and we can't worship together on Sunday. So the Bible tells us that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And as you see time approaching, more. And so what does the government do? Lock us down when we can't meet together freely. I mean, if you don't want to come, it's a choice. Don't. That's cool.
You want to isolate. Give us a choice.
But that freedom's been taken away from us.
Yep. Under the guise.
It's still the same whether we are in the situation now or not.
Yep. That's just going to get worse, too. So next week, we'll look at truce breakers.